Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. I am sure that when I first actually heard that line from Psalm 51, that I was dumbfounded. What a horrible and final thought. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Is this possible? You know, until we understand the ways of God, until we understand the life that He has given us, and I don't mean just, you know, you, a vowed religious, or me, a priest, I mean everybody. Everybody is born into the family of God, everybody on earth, everyone who is born into the world. They are born in His image. They bear a family resemblance for a very good reason. They are born to be the children of God. They are made perfect. We reject the premise proposed 5 centuries later by St. Augustine. They are built that they are born depraved, wretched, unable to save themselves. We reject this because that is not the theology the Church gave us. The theology of the Lord Jesus, the theology of the apostles, what we call the patristic consensus, the theology of the fathers, for the first 1,000 years of an undivided Church, teaches us that we are made to be perfect, perfectly good, perfect in every way. And that if we do nothing, we will become more and more and more like God each day, following the goodness that is already within us. Yes, many of us are colored, dragged off to the left or the right. We call this the wayside. We call this the wood of error. And they become corrupted. This happened to me. It happened to many people. But it did not happen to us all. It did not happen to holy people that we personally know. It did not happen to Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. So we have good cause in the prism of our own lives to reject this ridiculous premise that we're born to be bad. Look at any child born in the world. All that little creature wants is to give love and to receive love, pouring out love on a teddy bear, wishing to receive it. Love is the only divine property on earth, and the soul in which it lives is the only divine organ in our bodies. We are born to be good. We are born to love God. I loved God as far back as I can remember. Father God, who made this world, who loves me. He is our Father. And in all respects, His ways are those of a father. And what we do, what He cannot bless. Yes, He loves us unconditionally. But as C.S. Lewis says, He is not a senile old grandfather with a big white beard just wanting everyone to be happy no matter what they do. That is not the perfectly wise Father God. When we are bad and unrepentant, our human perception is that He has taken His Holy Spirit from us. In reality, we have absented ourselves from Him. When I have been evil in my life, I have shunned my parents. I have shunned my family. And for heaven's sake, I don't want them to visit my apartment and come into my cool world. which was full of error, and where I committed evil things. I had alienated myself, certainly from God, who could not approve my life, certainly from my family, certainly from my friends, at least the friends who counted. The friends I had were those who were as evil as I was, and with whom I committed these acts. And of course, ultimately, I had alienated myself from myself. And in my broken, limited capacity, I might say, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. But he did. Can we ever regain that Holy Spirit? You know, this is the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. How do you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit? How do you blaspheme against your guardian angel? Well, St. Paul lists these offenses over and over and over again. Fornication, the sin that most commonly drags men and women to hell, wrote Erasmus. Drunkenness, we might add, taking drugs. Well, that little group alone is all that suffices. The Holy Spirit cannot dwell inside us if it is a filthy place to dwell. Our angels cannot stand by a bedside and watch us do abhorrent things. You see, our guardian angel, in a sense, has been recalled, and the Holy Spirit has been taken from us. We are left in our own filth until we die and then go to hell. It's a very simple process, very easy to do. The heartbreak of a parent and the parent's struggle to rescue a child from this process, nearly impossible. We do it anyway. Watching friends we love go down this road, we want to lay our life down, and sometimes do, to prevent this, to call them back to themselves. To themselves, the one that was made to be perfectly good. And such regain the heart of a child, again full of mirth, again full of gladness, again full of lightness of being. But if we fail to understand this, we fail to understand that we are children of God, and that we can expect from Father God all the things we can expect from a father, we have it wrong. You know the number one target of the evil one is the church. And if the church tells you over and over and over again that God's love is unconditional no matter what you do, this ridiculous theology that we've been heir to in the last two generations, then these priests set us down a path of ruin. Following them, I might add. Well, might they preach this, as it's now coming out, virtually all of them are living in the demimonde of the cruising homosexual lifestyle. In this new book to come out next week, Sodoma, lets you know that no one ascends to the upper offices of the church unless they are very deeply in it. I was invited into that upper echelon, and I was to be initiated by a man in the Archdiocese of Newark. He lived in his private apartments. That man was deposed yesterday, defrocked. And the men who went down that path, assuring themselves, well, it's only going to take a half hour, have committed what I call the devil's bargain, that is to trade away everything that is good and precious, everything that you have, that pearl of great price, to get back nothing. Nothing. And less than nothing. How many people have traded their souls for a 30-minute or 60-minute something or other? Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. St. Basil the Great writes that we cover ourselves with mud so deeply that the rays of the Holy Spirit, the rays of the sun, cannot penetrate, and we do not feel the desire for God any longer. And we begin to doubt there is a God. How many people have sinned? How many people have been presented with sore temptation and said in that moment, well, maybe the whole thing is not even real, but this is real, this temptation in front of me today. And anyway, if he is real, he'll forgive me no matter what I do. All of this is nonsense. All of this is proposed by demons whispering into the ears of pathetic people. We are the children of God, daughters and sons of God. We are born to a noble birthright. We have certain responsibilities in the sight of God to honor that lineage, to protect that name, that most royal name, that most holy name, which is ours. And if we will, we will become more and more and more and more like him. So much like him that it's impossible to tell the difference between the father and the daughter. Jesus says, "Who has seen me has seen the Father. The Father and I are one." And his prayer upon departing is that they, his disciples, will be one with you, Father, as I am one with you, that we three, the Father, the Son, and all of these siblings, are one. Jesus is not the forgiving little man, this little meek and lowly man that he's depicted to be in so-called progressive theology. He is a flinty figure. He is the elder son. You know what the oldest son or daughter are like when they are righteous? They are stern when sternness is required, and there is no prophet in the Bible more stern than Jesus. And they will be thrown into unquenchable fire. They will be cast into the outer darkness where men do wail and gnash their teeth. On one side of him, on that hill on which he hung at the end of his life, a man who spits upon him in his pridefulness, in his error, in his splendid ego, in his own world, and on his right, one who sees the truth of his life written upon the face of the Creator and says, "Forgive me, Lord, forgive me. I have been a sinner from my mother's womb. I know my sins, and they are all before me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." And the Lord turns to him and says, "Today, I tell you, you will be with me in paradise." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.